stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Anyone could light a candle. Just like a flower in the wind. You are you.
Welcome to Our Sacred Journey with your host, Audrey Katagawa. Our program is designed to bring you inspiration, new perspectives, and experiences of love, compassion, and kindness in action. Our guests are global citizens who live and manifest their values, principles, and ideals. Come share in their activism and values that are making positive contributions to humanity. Now, here is Audrey Katagawa.
Welcome to Our Sacred Journey, and good Monday afternoon to all of our listeners. This is your host, Audrey Katagawa, and I love starting off our week with inspiring and special guests, and today we have Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry. Ambassador Chaudhry is a highly regarded international diplomat who has committed himself to the advancement of a global movement for the culture of peace and sustainable development. He was an advisor to the President of the United Nations General Assembly, and he served as the Undersecretary General and High Representative of Least Developed and Landlocked Countries. He also served as Ambassador and Permanent Representative of Bangladesh to the United Nations and pioneered the initiative of the UN General Assembly that adopted the landmark Declaration and Program of Action on a Culture of Peace and the proclamation of the International Decade for a Culture of Peace and Nonviolence for the Children of the World. While president of the UN Security Council, he led an important initiative for the adoption of the groundbreaking UN Security Council Resolution 1325 on women and peace and security. He is the recipient of the Uthant Peace Award, the UNESCO Gandhi Gold Medal for Culture of Peace, and the Spirit of the UN Award. Ambassador Chaudhry is a committed advocate for human rights for the most vulnerable constituents of our society, women and children, and for the development of the culture of peace. Ambassador Chaudhry, welcome to Our Sacred Journey. You know, I like to have my guests help to create the sacred space at the beginning of our program, and I understand that there is a very meaningful saying that you would like to share with us to create the sacred space. So welcome, Ambassador, and please help us to share that sacred space, create that sacred space for us with your meaningful saying.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you for inviting me for the second time in your show. It was exactly a year ago that I appeared at the beginning of your program, series of programs, and I'm very happy to come back, and more so that you intend to focus on various issues of peace relating to the culture of peace, relating to the International Day of Peace that the United Nations observes every year. But first, maybe I would like to share this meaningful saying that I recently came across, and I will read exactly the way it is. It was read by me within quotations.
All right, please.
It says there is no such thing as failure unless it is accepted as such. Every defeat is temporary unless you give up and allow it to become permanent. In fact, temporary defeat often makes us stronger and more capable. Each time we try and fail, we learn something that helps prepare us for eventual success. If you try an approach that does not work, try something else. When you view adversity as nothing more than a learning experience, your successes in life will far outnumber your failures. End of quote. And this is the saying that I thought is so inspirational, so uplifting, so energizing. And I think this is what we should get into in our hearts as we make our journey through our life.
Yes, thank you so much, Ambassador Chowdhury. And also helps us, that saying helps us to understand our creative nature that we have. So if there is an obstacle, we can tap into our creativity to look at alternatives. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sharing that very beautiful saying with us. And yes, you are correct, Ambassador. It's been about a year since you were on our sacred journey. And I do thank you so much for rejoining us today. I know your time is very valuable. And, you know, I really wanted you to update us on the current peace initiatives that you've been involved in for the past year, and because you're such a tireless worker for the culture of peace. So please share with us what you've been involved with since the last time you were on our program.
Well, in a lighter mood, I should say more of the same. I have been involved basically since I became the Bangladesh ambassador to the United Nations in 1996, when I had this strong urge to give the culture of peace, the concept which makes peace part of our daily existence, to have a profile in the General Assembly. It was being discussed very on the margins or the sidelines of the United Nations, but I thought this is such a profound concept, such a relevant concept for the 21st century that it must be given the highest profile it deserves. So that is when we started working for the culture of peace, bringing in that concept as an item of the agenda of the United Nations. In 97, that was done, and since then, culture of peace has been part of my own existence, and I have been working for it. And it was wonderful. During the last 1 year, I think a very important event took place at the United Nations. That is the first high-level forum on the culture of peace convened by the President of the General Assembly. It was the President Al-Nasser, who was the President for the 66th session of the United Nations. He convened this first ever on 14th of September last year. And it had profound statements from him, from the Secretary General, from the Deputy Secretary General, an array of speakers from all parts of the society involved in advancing the cause of the culture of peace. And that, I believe, encouraged the member states of the United Nations to include in a General Assembly resolution adopted last December to say that in the coming years, all the presidents of the General Assembly are encouraged to convene such a high-level forum. And I'm very happy to say that we are now in the midst of preparing for the second high-level forum on the culture of peace to be convened by the President of the General Assembly of the current session, of the 67th session that this the forum is being held. And this time it will be on 6th of September at the United Nations. And the other thing that is happening is the strong response that we are getting from civil society organizations from various parts of the world to build in the essential elements of the culture of peace in their work. And as you know, Audrey, the Culture of Peace Program of Action has identified 8 specific areas for special focus. And that covers from education to human rights to sustainable development to equality between women and men, international peace and security, a number of other areas. So the work for the culture of peace is very comprehensive. And I think that energizes the non-governmental organization, the organizations of civil society, to channelize part of their energy and time to promote the culture of peace, to see how best to implement the UN program on the culture of peace. And the other thing that I find now is the interest of the young people in learning more about the culture of peace and finding ways to reflect that in their activities, in their learning, in their educational processes. And that is very, very energizing for me.
Well, we really have to credit you with because you are very influential in the diplomatic circles. And of course, when the leadership at these international guiding institutions can support the culture of peace, then it does indeed, you know, filter through civil society, and civil society is definitely encouraged to receive this kind of leadership and guidance. And so I am very happy to hear about the vitality that the culture of peace movement is continuing to generate, not only at the highest levels, but through civil society as well, and especially in the young people who are the progenitors of our future. So we really appreciate all of the work that you have been doing that really brings forth the participation of so many people. And I do know that you said the three main reasons you emphasize the culture of peace is because, one, it does target individuals. Two, it brings together all actors, whether it's states, international organizations, parents, teachers, people from all walks of life. And three, it sets goals that, you know, we should have as principles of tolerance, solidarity, and dialogue. So it's so important that you are sharing these initiatives with us and updating us, because it really does invigorate us and give us so much hope and inspiration that this movement for the culture of peace is vibrant and is continuing to grow. Now, with respect to the International Day of Peace, which is celebrated annually on September 21st, but this high-level forum that you were talking about is going to take place on September 6th. So, you know, when we come back from our break, I really wanted you to share more about the International Day of Peace and the events which are leading up to this special day. So yeah, it's time for us to take a short break. This is Audrey Kitagawa, your host of Our Sacred Journey, and you're listening to the very important work of Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry. Please don't go away. We'll be right back for more fascinating conversation with Ambassador. Thank you very much.
Music.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
In times of personal transformation and growth, sometimes you need assistance to help set you on the right path. Angela Bushman provides that assistance. Tune in each week for her show, Shine Your Light. With Angela's guidance, you can identify and overcome your fears, learn to let go, and share the joy of authentic living. Angela leads by example and invites you to join her on this path of discovery. Shine Your Light with Angela Bushman is heard live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey with Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry. You know, Ambassador Chaudhry, the International Day of Peace is celebrated annually on September 21st, and you have been the chair of the International Day of Peace NGO Committee. Now, annually, the International Day of Peace is celebrated all around the world, and June marked the month that commenced the 100-day countdown to the International Day of Peace. Now, the events at the UN are also, usually webcast internationally. So I wanted you to share with us some of the specific events and teams which are being mobilized as a run-up to this very important day.
I thank you, Audrey, for bringing up this International Day of Peace and its observance that we do annually. In 1981, the General Assembly decided to identify and proclaim the International Day of Peace at the initiative of Costa Rica. And I feel very proud that I was a part of the Bangladesh delegation, which co-sponsored this resolution in that year. I was present myself in the General Assembly Hall when this was adopted. And in 2001, the General Assembly decided to make a specific date, which is 21 September, as the International Day of Peace. And since then, we have been working with the General Assembly and the UN Secretariat to organize an observance of the day. The day starts with the ringing of the peace bell by the Secretary General, and there is a youth forum when young people from various parts of the world, various parts of New York City come together to observe. And then in recent years, we have been able to connect young people in other parts of the world through video links, where they can join the youth conference at the United Nations observing International Day of Peace. And as I had mentioning in many places, the core theme of the International Day of Peace has been declared as a day of ceasefire and nonviolence. So this is what we are doing or trying to focus, that everywhere in all parts of the world, this will be the inspiration. But then in as a theme of each year of observance, we have picked up number of areas. Like last year, it was sustainable development for sustainable peace, focusing on the environmental dimension of the challenges of the world. Then this year, education for peace, taking into account that the Secretary General of the United Nations has launched a major global initiative for education. We are focusing on education for peace as the theme of this year. Globally, many organizations, educational institutions, religious bodies come together to observe this day in a number of ways. There are many ways of observing, like holding of peace prayers, schools organizing Peace Day events, organizing essay contests on writing for peace. The mayors for peace observe it all over the world in various cities of the world. United Nations, of course, advances the goal in a big way through its website, through the messages. This year, since last 4 years, the Secretary General of the United Nations has been issuing a 100-day countdown that he is encouraging all of us to get engaged in preparing for the International Day of Peace. So that is why the countdown is important, and his message is equally important for that initiative. I remember that the NGO, civil society, came together in August 2008 to decide that from now on, every International Day of Peace should try to identify some special action which will advance the cause of the Day of Peace. And I remember in 2008, and as the chair of the committee, I wrote to the Secretary General saying that he should launch two initiatives. One would call upon the armaments producers in all countries of the world to stop production on the International Day of Peace in that year and every year. And then secondly, it would call upon the television, movie, and toy industries to stop violence and violent themes in their products, beginning with a serious commitment on the International Day of Peace in 2008. So we believe that this kind of initiatives is very important. Of course, nothing forward-looking has happened on those two areas, but I believe that our observance of the International Day of Peace will become more meaningful if we take up some action challenges for us to advance during the whole year till the next Day of Peace. And I think that is an important dimension which we need to keep in mind.
And of course, again, if it comes from the highest levels, then these are concrete, specific actions that people can really wrap their minds around, as well as mobilize towards and advocate for. So I'm very happy that you are continuing to bring forth your creativity and sharing it at the highest levels, because it will definitely have impact. You know, these are seed thoughts that ultimately bear fruit down the road, as your work has demonstrated so well to all of us. And I just wanted to share the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's special message for the 100-day peace countdown to the International Day of Peace, when he said, "It is not enough to teach children how to read, write, and count. Education has to cultivate mutual respect for others and the world in which we live, and help people forge more just, inclusive, and peaceful societies. I call on everyone, whether governments, parties to conflicts, religious institutions, community leaders, the media, academics, or civil society groups, to play their part. And over the next 100 days, let us resolve to learn together how to create a universal culture of peace. And, you know, that is a very important message that he has put out to the international community. And, you know, as you shared, peace education is the focus for this year's International Day of Peace. And I know peace education is a particular interest to you. So, can you please, you know, update us about the peace education initiatives that the you know, that you have been working with that is being undertaken as part of the 100-day countdown to the International Day of Peace?
First of all, let me say that the message from the Secretary General has been wonderful, welcomed by all of us. I think this is the core concept of the culture of peace that he has articulated in this message. And I think his initiative for the global initiative for education first is really commendable. And I recall that last September at the high-level forum on the culture of peace, he also mentioned something similar, and I will quote him because it is also very energizing. And he said the aim of his initiative, Education First, is to bring together all partners. We want to give every child the chance to attend school. We want them to have quality lessons, and we want to strengthen their core values. I believe that this sentence is very important, strengthening their core values. And then he goes on to say, this is how we build a culture of peace. The governments must lead, but ultimately the culture of peace will be built by peoples, teachers and religious figures, parents and community leaders, business executives, and grassroots groups, end of quote. I think this is very important. And as you mentioned earlier, the culture of peace has not only an individual dimension of self-transformation, but is also, it has all partners coming together. This collaborative nature of advancing the culture of peace is very, very important. And I think the United Nations leadership focusing on education and then bringing in this element of strengthening core values, helping building a culture of peace is very, very essential. And I would like to say that that's why peace education, the focus of peace education should be a support to conscious self transformation of every individual. Each one of us need to become a believer and practitioner in peace and nonviolence as part of our daily existence. We should be able to, our education should enable us to face the challenges of life in a nonviolent and peaceful way.
I really agree with you, Ambassador Chowdhury. You know that as global citizens, we each have to take responsibility for finding peace within ourselves and collaborating with others to bring forth the culture of peace. We're going to have to go on another break right now. We are listening to Ambassador Anwarul Chowdhury on the important peace initiatives. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Healing from the Heart is the show that focuses on freeing the heart by releasing the hidden energies that keep it from doing what the heart was created to do, give and receive love. Every week, your host, Chris Chimbers, an energetic healing practitioner, will explore different aspects of his work, interview leading healers, respond to listeners' questions, and even do some live sessions on air. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, for Healing from the Heart on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey with Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry. Ambassador Chaudhry, you were making such an important point before the break about basically how every individual needs to take responsibility to be a peace practitioner, and also the importance of collaboration and cooperation, which I myself believe is the, you know, new paradigm that we all have to engage in, because these global challenges are far too huge for any one individual or organization or state to really try to tackle alone. So cooperative behaviors are really important. And I'd like you to continue and share with us more along those thoughts.
As I was telling, that it is very important for us to build that determination in our minds, that particularly among the young people as they are growing up, to feel that I am part of a broader humanity. By being born as a human being, I have a responsibility to the world. And that responsibility would be better executed if I am personally peaceful, I am personally non-aggressive, I am personally non-violent in addressing the challenges of my life and in my interaction with other people. So that is very important. This conscious determination for self-transformation is very important. And that is the element I would like to see that our education system brings in. Because so far, the education or the degrees that we give to the students is basically to prepare them for a profession, to have a job and continue with their lives. But equally important, I believe, if not more, is that they need to be also educated to face the challenges of life, because they have a responsibility as global citizens. And that is very important. Days are gone when we are part of our own communities. We are born and grow up in our own communities or countries. And there is no sense of responsibility for a broader humanity. But now the world is so interconnected, so interdependent, that we need to start feeling as a global citizen. And that should be the objective of all education, that how you become part of a global community, how your responsibility can be better executed as a global citizen. I think that is the very important, essential element that this educational curriculum, educational initiative of present and the future days should focus on.
And of course, that relates back to the Secretary General's message about the importance of having core values. And you are correct that so much of our education is helping people to get a profession, to, you know, get jobs. But really, it should be about core values and how we interact with each other in respectful, loving, and kind ways. Because you're correct, we do not live in isolation anymore. And because we are interconnected, whatever the actions of myself are, they have tremendous impact on the broader community and the world. So I think, you know, this is very important teaching. And, you know, I know that you do teach at several universities and that you have been teaching the culture of peace. So if you were to dream of what would be really important for the curriculum, peace education curriculum to be, can you share with us what your dream would be?
I believe that it is very important for the educational institutions to understand that they are contributing to the future of the world by educating the young people in their institutions. And I believe sooner this understanding comes in at the level of education is better. I would say even a fourth and fifth grader should start realizing that they are part of a bigger world and they are part of this global community. And that is very important. Now, many studies have come out that early intervention is very necessary. It may be too late if you go to the university or college level. Sometimes the minds are already set. So it is very important. So my dream is to start at early school level, sharing with the students how they have to open up their minds, how they have to feel as part of the world as a whole. And that is my dream, I think. And this teaching can be done without any specific curriculum. These teachers can bring in as a part of their daily advice or a message to students and then link up the happenings around the world, happenings around themselves, their families and communities to a global happening. So build up that capacity to feel in a global way. And I also believe that it is very important that each of the higher level educational institutions think that we are contributing not only the workforce for the future communities or future societies, but we are also contributing the force that will bring in peace and nonviolence on a sustainable footing. So that is very important. They should feel that this is both their responsibility, not only to keep our families going through jobs or our economies going through labor, but also at the same time, our community's broader interest, overall interest, peace and tranquility, solidarity, collaboration, cooperation are also generated through this education. So that will be my dream. But what I'm now doing with the universities is telling each one of them to start a course on the culture of peace so that people know that there is this wonderful initiative of the United Nations which can contribute to the betterment of the world in a wonderful way.
Well, that is really fantastic that, you know, we can actually focus on the international norms and standards that have been created now through the United Nations that can be, you know, filtered down to throughout our educational system. And I do agree with you that it's important to start at very young ages. And we should see the complementariness between, you know, our educational systems as well as the parents, because, of course, within family life, where children are first born and raised and introduced to relationships, it's very important that parents also understand their role in teaching good values, core values, and peaceful values to their children. And when the teachers also can have a peace education curriculum, it definitely complements the roles that the parents, teachers, and everyone is playing in helping to shape the lives of all of these beautiful young people that we are touching. So yeah, thank you so much.
I cannot agree more with you regarding the point that you have made on the role of the family. That is absolutely essential.
Yes, because, you know, there's we still need to tackle so many issues of domestic violence, violence against women. You know, there is a whole social service network to help children who have been abused, who have been neglected. So,
absolutely.
You know, throughout society, we need to really have this kind of teaching of good values, not only for parents, but also understand that the children who receive these values eventually become adults and future parents. So, you know, it becomes a generational thing as well. So I applaud the profound work that you are doing. And, you know, I know you are traveling all the time to so many different countries. And I really would like you to share with us what you have been doing in these foreign countries for the past year.
Well, as I said, basically my focus is on advancing the culture of peace. I had been invited to speak at various forums. In the month of May, I was invited to Oslo to deliver the deliver a speech at the Dag Hammarskjöld annual memorial lecture series. And I again advanced the cause of the culture of peace and the cause of education, encouraging advancement of global responsibility for young people. And I think the peace educators from the neighboring countries came together, mostly the Nordic countries, and I was very encouraged by their focus on peace activities, peace education. And I think it is wonderful. Another thing that I have been also identifying or highlighting in my lectures in various parts of the world is the recognition by the United Nations of the human right to peace. And I think that is a very important challenge which is now facing the United Nations. We, the countries of the world, need to come together to emphasize recognition, the need for recognition of this right. And
Ambassador, that is a very, very important right. And I really want you to spend more time with us on it. We are going to have to take a break. But when we come back from our break, I really want you to address the human rights to peace. And this is Audrey Kitagawa with Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry. We'll be right back.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear.
host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Are you living your happy life? Are you looking for something more fulfilling? Tune in every week for Living the Shift, our evolution of mind, body, and spirit with your host, Angela Coulter. The worldwide economy has changed the way that we view and live a traditional happy life. The spiritual and metaphysical world does provide some guidelines, but many of us have no real understanding of these and what they can do. Listen live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey with Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhary. Now, Ambassador Chaudhary, you know, when we talk about peace, you know, we're really ultimately talking about justice, whether it's social justice, economic justice, because all of these matters as well are intertwined in helping to create overall a peaceful world and society. Now, you had been the chair of the International Drafting Committee on the Human Rights to Peace Initiative, which started in Barcelona, Spain. And, you know, I really want you to share with us about this initiative and, you know, how it started in Spain and the status of what the initiative is up to date now. So if you could share with us, please, Ambassador.
Thank you for asking that question. As a matter of fact, this initiative for human right to peace has its history back when I was chairing the drafting committee for the UN Declaration and Program of Action on Cultural Peace. At that time, way back in 1998-1999, we wanted to include this concept in the Cultural Peace Program of Action. It was not possible because of the opposition of some very powerful member states. And then, for the sake of consensus, we eliminated that reference in the program of action. And then in 2006, there was a gathering initiated by Spanish Society for International Human Rights Law. They convened a number of people to adopt a document which will identify human right to peace as the need of the hour. And then in 2010, there was an international drafting committee on preparing a declaration on the human right to peace. This drafting committee was chaired by me, and we came together having representatives of five regions of the world sending their experts, not a governmental expert, these are individual experts who came together, and we drafted what we call the Barcelona Declaration on Human Right to Peace. And this was later on approved by a bigger international congress 6 months later. And that became the basic document of what civil society organizations. There is an alliance of 1,800 organizations who are behind this initiative for the human right to peace. And this was submitted to the Human Rights Council in Geneva. And there was strong opposition to start with, but during the last 2-3 years, we worked hard for the Human Rights Council to decide to set up an intergovernmental working group to prepare a declaration on the right to peace. Out of the consensus, now it is not called in the UN documents human right to peace, but the right to peace. And like the right to development or right to water, this is also right to peace. And this international intergovernmental drafting group met in June to start preparing this declaration. And they have made progress, but the oppositions continue to remain. So we will meet again early next year, and we will continue to urge the governments to agree on a declaration based on what civil society presented as our own version of the declaration. But you know, the governments have their own ways of working, and they will finally, hopefully, agree on a consensus text. After that is done, the Human Rights Council will accept it and forward it to the General Assembly of the United Nations. And I hope, on being recommended to do to adopt this declaration, the General Assembly member states will also agree. So this is a long road, but if you ask me a time frame, I believe it will be 2015 or 2016 that we can expect to adopt a recognition, a formal recognition of the human right to peace by the United Nations General Assembly.
Well, that would be a huge accomplishment because, of course, you know, the term, the word human right to peace makes it very important, the implications legally as well, because, you know, if you have a violation of peace, then it's a violation of the human rights.
Yes.
And that has tremendous legal consequences, you know, especially as it may relate to states that create war, because that, you know, that would automatically be a human right violation.
But
so
remember,
of course,
Audrey, mm-hmm. that we want the right to peace to be recognized as both an individual right and a collective right. So it should be recognized as such, that every individual in the world would have a right to peace as they have other human rights. And same time, the states collectively and individually also will have the responsibility to respect this right to peace for other countries and for all the individuals in the world. So this is a very key element of this initiative, and we consider it as a right of solidarity among the peoples of the world. Unless we recognize that, these days more and more human rights recognized by the UN are being termed as solidarity rights, like right to development, that it has to have the global solidarity as its foundation when we recognize such rights, right to safe drinking water, right to health, right to education. These are solidarity rights. One single country or one single individual cannot ensure this right for all of us. So that is why it is very important that there is a formal recognition of the right to peace. We all recognize the value of peace, the need for peace, but we have not yet formally recognized the right to peace.
Well, I really support this important initiative, and I'm glad that we're able to get the message out about it so more and more civil society as well as other partners can really support this important initiative. And I do hope that you know, we will be able to accomplish it at the top levels at the United Nations, as well as to have all governments be able to ratify this. It would create tremendous leverage, and I think that is the important kind of leverage that is really necessary to help create this critical mass and agreement that we need to shift to peace and put greater emphasis there. Ambassador Chaudhry, you know, I really want to express my deepest appreciation to you for taking the time to be with us today. You have communicated to us so much valuable information and important initiatives, and thank you for updating us. And I really want to thank you for the tremendous work that you do, the ceaseless, tireless work that you do to mobilize at every level, the United Nations, the grassroots level, in all of the work that you do. And may God bless you and the good works that you continue to do for all of us. And you have really been a tireless worker for inner and outer peace for all peoples everywhere. We appreciate you returning to our sacred journey.
Thank you. Thank you, Audrey. But you have led me to say something just for a 30-second opportunity. Can I?
Yes, please.
Yes, I would say that you mentioned something which inspired me to say this. And I would like to as a sort of end message to your listeners, I would say that which I said on the Universal Peace Day in 2010 in a speech, and I will quote myself from there. I said there, in today's world, more so, the culture of peace should be seen as the essence of a new humanity, a new global civilization based on inner oneness and outer diversity. So that is my end message to all the listeners. And thank you, Audrey, for giving me this opportunity again to come and share my thoughts with you on the culture of peace and peace in general.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Chaudhry. To all of our listeners, join us again next week, where we will continue to bring you inspiring guests who live their values and principles that help to make this world a better place. This is Audrey Kitagawa with Ambassador Anwarul Chaudhry, and we bid you all a very good evening.
Thank you for being a part of Our Sacred Journey. Please join Audrey Kitagawa again next Monday at noon Hawaiian Standard Time, 3 p.m. in the West, 6 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. This week, think about the contributions of love and compassion that you'll make and how together we can create a better, harmonious, and more peaceful world.